We're turning to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 51 to 56. And it's very important that we recognize that what we are given here in this section is matching and answering what we saw in a previous section. We saw that three groups were mocking Jesus Christ in verses 39 to 44. Passerbys, the religious leaders, and even the thieves on the cross were mocking Jesus Christ. But the living God provides witnesses, witnesses to the significance and the value of Lord Jesus Christ's once for all sacrifice for sins on the cross. These witnesses appear here in these verses. It's the old order, which entails quite a bit, and Roman soldiers and women. They are all witnesses and showing the great significance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 51. This is the mighty and enduring word of God. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. The precious word of the living and the true God. We saw that the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, and there was darkness for 3 solid hours. It's not your ordinary darkness. It was a darkness that reminded us of the judgment of God. Reminded us that there in that darkness, God was doing something mysterious and impossible for us to fully understand. He was trading the penalty that you and I deserve with the merit that Jesus Christ deserved. And he was providing for us righteousness while he was made the one who was an object of God's wrath, like a sinner, there in that darkness. But you see, the death of Jesus Christ may begin with darkness that leads up to his death, but right afterwards, there's this great earthquake. Something tremendous is happening. And we have to follow the flow of this passage. We see the old order witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ's death, and we see the Roman soldiers witnessing to it, and we see women there as witnesses to the very end at the cross of Jesus Christ. The veil is split. The earth splits. Death is defeated. The soldiers are enlisted, and women are included. That's what happens at the death of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people read Psalm 22 and they think, well, what part of that psalm applies to the meditations of Jesus Christ upon the cross? Clearly, he cites this first verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Surely he cries that out. But there's such agony in the verses that we just read, the despair almost of the Lord Jesus Christ under the wrath of God. We might forget about the victory that comes at the end of the psalm. And some people like to say, well, it's there. It certainly is. But it's here in these witnesses. You see the victory that was accomplished in your salvation through these witnesses. The old order, the Roman soldiers, and these women at the cross. the veil splitting, the earth splitting, death being defeated, soldiers enlisted, and women included. And that's what we're looking at this morning. The word, the behold, is given there so that you might look and pay attention. You're not there. And we don't actually know whether it was the inner veil of the temple in the Holy of Holies, or if it was the outer veil that more people could see. But if it was the inner veil, the word would quickly spread because something happened to this curtain. Now, it's a bit exaggerated, but the Jewish people like to say it took 300 priests to put that curtain up. That just gives you an idea of how heavy it is. That might be a fish story. The point is, it's something that could not simply be torn by means of an earthquake. The veil of the temple is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This huge curtain is torn by God. It's torn from above. It's torn by God because a moment has come in which there is going to be a new way of having access to God. Ephesians 2 tells us about it. Hebrews chapter 10, the place that we were just reading for a call to worship, tells us that it was the body of Jesus Christ that was torn. In other words, access to God is now exclusively through Jesus Christ, who was brought to earth in order to bring about this access to God. It is the end of the need for the temple. The temple will still continue, but Jesus Christ is the temple presence of God. This veil is torn. It's torn in two from the top to the bottom, and then the earthquakes. You say, well, I've heard of earthquakes before. But the book of Amos is so built on earthquakes that some people call him the prophet of the earthquake. The earthquakes in the Old Testament again and again and again reveal to us the day of the Lord. We are seeing God institute a new reality by means of this curtain being torn, and now we see that the day of the Lord has come. Now that's pretty surprising. The day of the Lord has come. I thought it was still ahead. It is. But you see, the day of the Lord, for the people for whom Jesus Christ died, came upon him. That's why the earth quakes. That's why the earth is shaking. Like we were singing about in Psalm 68. The earth shakes at the presence of the Lord. You see it again and again in the scriptures. You see it again and again in various places. In Zechariah 14, there's this great moment in Zechariah 14 and verse 4 when it says, after saying the Lord will go forth and fight against the nations, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Mountains just simply being removed. The day of the Lord. The book of Hebrews talks about a shaking that was given to us in Haggai. The shaking of the heavens and the earth. The day of the Lord is a day in which the one who created the order that we know, the permanence of night and day and the ground under our feet, is shaking it all up. And we're seeing that here at the cross. Because the day of the Lord has come, has arrived for those who are going to be protected in Jesus Christ. It's the end of the old order. Something new has come. And it comes about through Jesus Christ, the one who gives us access to God. The temple is no longer needed. The temple was a symbol of something that would be embodied in Jesus Christ himself. And the day of the Lord has come, this great earthquake. And it does something significant. This great earthquake splits the rocks and opens graves. graves are open. You know, they were in the rocks. You read that in the Gospel of John. The tombs were in the rocks. And there were people buried in those rocks. And when the earthquake came, the rocks were split and the graves were open. And people actually were entombed. We read that they were bodies of saints which slept. They were dead. We don't know which saints they were. We might wonder. But you're not meant to stare at that verse and try to figure out which saints they were. You're meant to see that the day of the Lord has come and the graves are being opened. This is the amazing thing that God said he was going to do. He even talked about it in terms of a national resurrection in Ezekiel 37 and verse 13. He's talking about the nation being restored, but listen to the language he uses. Ezekiel 37. Prophesy, verse 12, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. That's a national statement. It's a statement about the deliverance of the people of God from exile. But lo and behold, in this very unusual verse in the Gospel of Matthew that we don't have a lot of detail about, these saints have their tombs broken open by this great earthquake. The rocks are split. The graves are opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Well, you know that Jesus died and he was raised. You know that there's an earthquake in chapter 28. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. But the Gospel of Matthew does something amazing. Because Matthew, in his Gospel, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants you to see the connection between the great day of the Lord and the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that follows. So he compresses it all. It's right here. He's talking about the bodies of the saints which slept, and they come out of the graves. Notice it says very carefully, verse 53, after his resurrection. Jesus Christ is the first fruits. He rises first. But they come out of the graves after his resurrection and go into the holy city and appear to many people. The Lord Jesus Christ appears to many after his resurrection. The Apostle Paul wants us to understand that. He makes it quite clear in 1 Corinthians 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. His resurrection is the means by which resurrection happens. But because of the wondrous, amazing reality that Matthew is writing about, he puts this appearance of these saints resurrected here. And we might know that it's connected to the great day of the Lord that has arrived at the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, otherwise we might just simply focus on the suffering of Jesus Christ. We might focus on what he has accomplished for sinners, and we might lament the fact that he was forsaken by God. But it's the means by which a new reality comes about. You see, the old order witnesses to the reality of what has been accomplished. The temple curtain being torn from top to bottom, the earth shaking, the graves opening, and people being raised. It's a new reality. And it's given to us all in the space of a few verses here, so that we might understand all of it together. And that's important. That's important for your faith. Because you know something about the Lord Jesus Christ that these Roman soldiers did not know. They were on the other side. They were on the side who were of the Roman government. Professional soldiers there to make sure that the one who has been crucified died. That was made quite clear in the verses that we read before. They watched. But while these soldiers are watching, there's this incredible earthquake. And it's an incredible earthquake so much that it splits rocks, it opens tombs. This is no mere earthquake. And these soldiers there at the foot of the cross begin to see something different. They were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ along the lines of the Jewish people. They were pretending that he was royalty. They were telling him to prophesy when they hit him. They were doing exactly what the Jewish people did. But there at the cross of Jesus Christ, he begins to enlist soldiers. In another gospel, we read that a centurion made a profession of faith that is so clear that many believe he's a believer. But here, we have a group of soldiers. The group of soldiers there at the cross, the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus to make sure he dies. But what they see and experience is an earthquake of massive proportions. And the things that are done. And so the Bible says they feared greatly. They feared greatly. You know, you're told in Hebrews chapter 12 that you're to have godly fear because our God is a consuming fire. There's a kind of reverence, there's a kind of awe that comes about when you are in the presence of the living God. There's a kind of holy, quiet reverence. And something of that was impressed upon these soldiers. Now, I'm not saying that when they say that this was the Son of God, that they understood everything that that meant. But they're using the very language that is accented in the Gospel of Matthew concerning Jesus Christ. And they recognize something. The religious leaders have been taunting Jesus Christ. They're saying, if you're God's Son, do this. Prove it. And we'll believe in you. But the soldiers are the ones who recognize that this was the Son of God. There's something different about this death. There's something different about this crucifixion. It's not like the other ones that we encountered routinely. So many things happen. The darkness, the earthquake, the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ died. In other Gospels, we have some of the words that he communicated from the cross. How he provided for his mother through John from the cross. Truly, this was the Son of God. They come to a point of great fear. A fear that was demonstrated in the disciples in chapter 14. This is a significant thing there at the cross. The veil splits, the earth splits, death is defeated, graves are opened, and now Roman soldiers are saying, truly, this was the Son of God. We're not meant to simply try to figure out whether they became full-fledged disciples of Jesus Christ. But we are meant to understand that these soldiers were confessing that which was true of Jesus Christ. He brought about witnesses. God, the Father, brought about witnesses at the cross. The temple curtain that was barring access to unholy people is torn down. And now Ephesians 2 tells us that we have access through Jesus Christ and by the Spirit to God, the Father, through Him. That's happened. It's accomplished in the history of redemption. And the day of the Lord, how can you possibly know that God knows everything that you have said or done or thought? Now, extending back into the past and even into the future, things that you don't even know you're going to think or say, and forgives you and says, "Welcome into my presence." It's because judgment fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ on that day on behalf of all of his people. And the earthquake is a demonstration of that. And the conversion of these soldiers to being those who profess the Lord Jesus Christ in this clear way is a testimony. We know that the gospel is going to go to the Gentiles. Chapter 28 makes that quite clear. It happens in the book of Acts. Paul writes about it in Philippians 1. They confess something that is true of the Lord Jesus Christ that they would not have said mere hours before. It's a witness. It's a witness to the power and the majesty of the work of Jesus Christ. But there's something more. There at the cross of Jesus Christ, standing afar off, seeming to be helpless and powerless to change what's going on, are women who love the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly life. Mary Magdalene is there. Mary, the mother of James, and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's children. You know those two. The sons of thunder. The ones that this mother had asked Jesus Christ to place on his right hand and his left. And they go into the kingdom. And now she's there at the cross. And Jesus Christ is dying on the cross at the hands of Roman soldiers. But she's still there watching. She seems weak and powerless. But so do dead people when they're buried in a tomb, in a rock. They seem weak and powerless here, but they're given a crucial role. Because they continue to watch. These women are still there in verse 61, sitting over against the sepulcher. They're there in the beginning of chapter 28. These women are there when the disciples are gone. And so, though they appear to be weak and powerless, they continue to watch. And by watching, they become witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ's great, majestic work. This is what the Bible says to us concerning those things that seem to be weak and foolish in the eyes of men. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But if of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I submit to you that as the women are there watching at the cross of Jesus Christ, and as they continue to watch, to the point where he was buried, to the point where he was raised, they become an embodiment of this principle. They become an embodiment of this principle to us. God has provided witnesses. The earth quakes because God acts upon it. The soldiers begin to confess that truly this was the Son of God because they see the majestic power of God. These women, through their devotion to Lord Jesus Christ, far off, watching at the cross, are there when the disciples are not. And even though the disciples will be called, they will be made into apostles, they will preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has provided for us a witness. He's provided for us a witness in the curtain being torn from top to bottom. He's provided for us a witness in the earth splitting, the graves being opened. He's provided a witness in that death was defeated. We see beforehand the effects of the work of Jesus Christ in his resurrection revealed to us. We see things happen that people cannot bring about themselves. And so if you're saying, well, who am I? Who am I this week? Who am I in my sphere of influence to be one who can be a witness to Lord Jesus Christ? Consider this question. Where are the disciples? And who has the honor of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that these women do? Witnesses of the powerful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those raised saints are going to be in the heavenly Jerusalem. But this is just a foretaste. There are going to be those who are weak and despised in the world in glory. And we're going to see them in different terms. There are people that you have never met who have been serving the living God in hard, difficult, faraway places. Not visible to you. Not known by you, not on Facebook, not placarded in the media. Their names not even known. With the power of someone who witnesses to the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the means that that passage that we read in 1 John tells us overcomes the world.